All right. Well, we're going to be looking at, again, thanking God, praising God, glorifying God as our response to him. And just a review to remember what we did half hour ago. What is our Creator like? He's powerful. He's orderly. He's the Creator of good, good, very good. He created a man that would be in full fellowship with him, a completely open relationship, and he was watchful over him. He saw what he needed, and he supplied. He satisfied the needs for that man. What a wonderful God to thank. What a wonderful God to praise. What a wonderful God to glorify. And I just want to talk about those three things. I'm not really, as we go through this, we're going to look at sections that talk about it, but I'm not going to break it down except for right here. You know, thanking God is just being grateful for who God is, showing gratitude and appreciation to God for who he is, what he's done. Praising God is proclaiming his glory for who he is and what he has done. And glorifying God, that's magnifying, honoring him, exalting him, because of who he is and what he has done. And even in just looking at creation and him as the creator and him as this Lord God, there's a lot to glorify. There's a lot to praise. There's a lot to be thankful for. Because no one else compares to him. There's nothing that is like God. He is the creator of all things. And he does good, good, very good. So what we're going to do for the first part of our teaching, or first part of this time together in God's word, is we're going to consider, you know, what do we have to praise him for? What do we have to thank him for? What do we have to glorify him for? And yeah, I know we just read Genesis, but we're going to be considering other sections that talk about it and put the things that we learned about Genesis in different ways, because God speaks about this all over his word. From Genesis to Revelation, he's referring to himself and what big of a deal it is that he is the creator. So first off, he is God. You can thank him and praise him and glorify him because he's God. Go to Psalm 90, please. And we are going to be spending a lot of time in the Psalms. In Psalm 90, verse 1, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Who is God? God. I know that that's simple, but God is God. Is anything else God? No. He's the one who's been here from everlasting to everlasting. We weren't there. He alone is God. We are not. Let's go to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, we're going to start in verse 1. God does what he pleases. God does what he wants. We're going to read that, okay? This is something you can praise him for. This is something you can thank him for. Says in verse 1, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Isn't that lovely? God is not a God that we make up. God is not a God that I define. God is not a God that anybody defines. And he doesn't do what I want. He does what he wants. It puts things in order, doesn't it? And it said here, does our God dwell on this earth? Can this earth contain God? No. No. You're not going to find God like the nations find God, like people in the world find God, and define God the way that they want, and make him this small, tiny God that they can feel comfortable with. No, God is God. And he's not an idol. He's not something that man created. He's not something man holds and takes with him. God carries you. And he does what pleases him. Let's go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 1. What we'll see here is that when God speaks, it is done. Psalm 33, verse 1. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. It says that it's fitting. In the King James, it says, praise is comely. It's proper. This is what our proper response to this God is, to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars and puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Oh, again, what else is like that? Nothing can change God's word. When he speaks, it's done. Nothing can derail him. There's nothing else like him. He is the greatest of all. The things that he created and set in motion in Genesis, we still see. You know, and it says some wonderful figures of speech here. He made the heavens by the breath of his mouth. You know, that's our God. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, and he puts the deep in storehouses. Isn't that delightful? He's so big, and he's so much bigger than we are. Let all the earth fear him. Let all the people of the world revere him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. When God speaks, it's done. There's another section of the word like this. Let's go to, keep a finger in Psalms, but go to Hebrews chapter 11. How amazing is it that this God, who can do whatever he wants, when he speaks, it's finished, right? Consider what he wanted with us, right? It's pretty amazing. But in Hebrews 11, we're going to read in verse 3. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Again, God is not in a box that we can even fathom. He makes things from nothing. The things that are invisible, everything that we see that is visible, he made from things that are invisible. Nothing was here. It was empty, right? And then God started to speak. And now we see things that God spoke into being from what was not even here before. He is all powerful. When he speaks, it happens. Let's go to Psalm 100. Have we even really talked about us yet? No, we haven't. We have a lot to praise God about just because of who he is and what he does. But we're going to start to get into, we're going to talk a little bit about us here in just a minute in Psalm 100. But it says, verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He made you. Again, that's something that you can be thankful for. You can praise him for. You can glorify him. And it doesn't say, you know, sometimes that's a quiet thing. Sometimes it's a loud thing. Shout for joy. Know that the Lord is God. He is God. He made us. We are his. That is something to be joyful about. That is something to thank him for. So he made us. There's another one. And then we're going to keep reading. Here's another thing we can be thankful and praise him for. It says, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and in his court and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So again, my topic with praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, it's all in this verse. How are we to come before him? With thankful hearts, praising him, glorifying him. Why? Verse 5, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. What did we see in chapter 1 of Genesis? Chapter 1. What he makes, what is it? It's good, because he's good. That's the only thing that comes out of this good God is good. He's good. That's something that we can praise him and thank him for, and that all creation can see. You know, the seasons that have order, there's a goodness to it. The sun that felt so good on our faces yesterday, there's a goodness to it. When we consider the heavens, there's a goodness to it. Babies being born, you know, all these different things. To have this response, though, of praising God, thanking God, and glorifying him, we need to remember him. And remembering is not just recalling facts. And Josh has taught this so beautifully. Like, he gives the example of George Washington. Okay, who's the first president of the United States? George Washington. Yes, you remember that, but is that something that you're just recalling from the back of your mind when I say who was the first president of the United States? Or were you actively thinking about George Washington as I asked you that? No, you were recalling it from the back of your mind, right? So it wasn't something that was in the forefront of your mind. It wasn't something that you were thinking about and considering, pondering George Washington. No. So when God speaks about remembering him, remember him, remember me. That means to actively remember him, to have it in the forefront of your mind. Consider him, ponder him. Remembering him isn't just recalling facts, but it's actively putting on in your mind who this God is. Taking time to stop and consider the things we just read. How good he is. How he made us. How he can do whatever he wants. There's nothing that can contain him. When he speaks, it happens. We're going to go to Psalm 8. And we're going to read about someone who did this. Okay, in Psalm 8, verse 1, it says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You know, again, a name. When God gives himself a name, it is describing his attributes and his characteristics. We've read about some of these attributes and characteristics about this God, right? How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Actually, I'm going to read that from the King James. It says, who has set thy glory above the heavens? He set his glory above the heavens. You know, when we consider the things that God made, even the heavens are too small to show it, shine forth his magnificence. His glory is above it. What we can see, taste, touch, smell of his creation is just a partial showing of God's glory. Looking at God's glory in Christ, I'm not going to talk about that, but maybe something to ponder and consider. But he set his glory above the heavens. You know, consider how glorious the heavens are, and we're going to read about that in a minute, but he set his glory above it. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. So he's stopping and he's considering. And one of the most magnificent things that God has made, one of the most, the things that make us stop and go, oh, are the heavens when we actually see them. In Ohio, they're hard to see. But you know, if you go to some place where there's actually like not a lot of lights and the sky is clear, can you count the stars? No. It is incredible the expanse of the Milky Way, the different colors you see, just the grandeur, the greatness of it. So the psalmist is considering the heavens, how vast, how big. The fingers of God made that, you know? That's how big our God is. So what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? In light of how great this God is, how amazing it is to stop and consider how mindful God is of us. And it's going to start talking about how mindful he is about us in light of when he originally created man at the beginning. You know, to stop and consider Genesis 1 and 2, how in all creation, you consider the vast expanses of all the things God made, spoke into being, and yet he cared for this man in the way that we read about. And we're going to read about here, verse 5. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. He made them like him. They were made in his image. They were made in his likeness. He crowned them with glory and with honor. How amazing to think about in light of the vastness of our God, who can do anything, literally anything. And this is what he chose to do. You made them rulers over the work of your hands. You placed everything under their feet, all the flocks and herds and all the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You know, one of the things that we receive from reading about our Creator and just considering Him is a great awe and fear of how amazing He is. Again, the one who can do anything He wants. And He has chosen to set His affection on mankind. You know, that should kind of, again, make me go, just like when I look at the heavens or the mountains or the seas, how important, how much care, how much honor, how much glory did He put on Adam in the beginning? And how much He still cares for mankind. That is something to stop and consider and praise Him for and thank Him for and glorify Him. You know, let's actually close. I skipped over a couple things I was going to go over. Let's go to Psalm 69. We'll close here. Psalm 69. We're going to read, start in verse 30. We read about earlier how it is fitting for us to praise Him. You know, it's fitting for us to thank Him. It's fitting for us to glorify Him because He's God, right? He made us. Look at this. In verse 30, it says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad, and you who seek God, may your hearts live. Glorifying, praising God, thanking God, not only is it appropriate, not only is it right, it's fitting for His creation to acknowledge Him. You know, as parents, how much do we want our kids to acknowledge us with what we do? How much the Creator, who made you, He made you, wants you to acknowledge Him. It pleases Him for us to do this. Not only is it fitting, it pleases Him. You know, we can consider that too as we take time this afternoon to do this, but I really encourage all of us to, we have time to do this weekend. Our lives are busy a lot of times. Our lives, we have a lot of distractions, and we actually are here in a place where there's not a lot of distractions unless you allow distractions to be there. I encourage us to take the time to ponder and to consider your Heavenly Father and praise Him and thank Him and glorify Him. You don't have to wait until 4 o'clock this afternoon. You can take time now. We have time. I'm finishing early on purpose. So I would just encourage us to do so. We have the prayer room. It's not raining. It was supposed to rain. You can go outside and consider Him. Yes, you can do that with others, but I also, you know, take time one-on-one. Don't be afraid to be with God. Don't be afraid to be with your Creator. More importantly, your Father. He cares for you. He wants to be with you. I mean, reading Genesis, can you see that? Can you see His love and His care for what He has made? God wasn't done in Genesis 3 when man turned away and said, no, thank you. I'd rather take the words of the devil than God, your words. He wasn't done. And He kept working, and He brought about a Savior so He could have you and so He could be with you. So there would no longer be a separation between you and Him. Don't allow there to be. The only thing that's there, if there's a separation in your heart between you and your Heavenly Father, it's because you're allowing it to be there. It's because you're allowing the lies of the adversary to separate you. You are not separated. You are so close. We're in Christ now. Please take the time with your Heavenly Father. You know, for those, if you've never done that, and it's scary, He is big, and He is fearful, but He loves you, and He wants to be with you. So be with Him, please. You know, take this time, okay? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have some time. We're going to be eating again at 12:30. You have announcements? Okay, I'll pray, and then Danny's going to come up. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for who you are and what you have done, and that there is no one like you. Thank you, Father, that you care about me, you care about each one of us, and that how amazing is it that a God so big would care about us. May those walls that we have in our hearts between us be broken down. May we be closer to you than we ever have been, because that is your great desire, and that is your great plan in Christ. And that is what you made in the beginning. And I just am so in awe of what you've done, and I thank you, Father, for what you're working in each one of us, and help us to be bold and to be confident in what you say, so that we take time with you and we grow. Thank you, Father, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.